you all saw the news this week. R. Kelly is in more trouble. He was charged in Cook County once, and they upped the charges a couple weeks ago. And now he's got two new indictments, one in the federal court here in Chicago, another one in the federal court in New York. And the allegations are very similar, and some extra new allegations that he obstructed justice and people around him were obstructing justice by paying off witnesses and telling people not to go to court, arranging for them to be out of the country when the case was in trial, and basically running a sexual enterprise to have sex with underage girls. There was an article in the Tribune. It was Mary Schmeek, who writes a column, and she was talking about it takes a village. You know, it is back to the old, hearkening to the old Hillary Clinton days, but it also takes a village to help a sexual predator stalk his victim. She talked about how Bill Cosby had a village, Larry Nassar had a village, and now we have Jeff Epstein, and now we have Harvey Weinstein, and we have all these people who somehow had people around them. You know, these men will have people around them and will facilitate the girls coming and going. And in the article, she quotes Katha Morris Hoffman, who is an expert at this. She is the executive director of the Chicago Alliance Against Sexual Exploitation. She's been working in this field. She's the co-author of the Illinois Gender Violence Act, and she served on Barack Obama's presidential campaign advisory committee on violence against women. Katha, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So talk about this issue of the village and the entourage around people like R. Kelly, around the allegations that have been made.
Well, just as it takes a community of people to help a survivor in the aftermath of violation, it typically takes a community of people who enable sexual predators to get away with violating people. It's not so typical that they are as active as the evidence suggests the enablers were in the case of Epstein and R. Kelly. But if you think about the scandal that unfolded in the Catholic Church over the last couple of decades, it took well-intentioned, good-meaning people to continually look away, to deny and say, oh, it can't be true, allegations of sexual assault, when they were made against somebody who, you know, already seemed to be an upstanding member of the community. It is more often than not the case that when individual survivors of sexual abuse come forward and say, that man sexually harmed or violated me, it is often the case that the response they're met with is, what? Him? No, that can't be true. He seems like such a good guy.
You talk about, used in this column, I believe it was you who used the quote, monster myth. Can you talk about what yes. that means?
Well, the monster myth, which is something I've been writing about for many years, is this idea that it takes a monster to engage in the monstrous harm of sexual violation. And it's very understandable that people would assume that it takes a monster to do something so awful or evil. But what survivors have been telling us for decades and centuries, really, is that most sexual violation is done by people who are otherwise loved and trusted and well-regarded in their community, whether their community is their family or their church or their workplace or their school. Because fundamentally, people don't go into rooms alone or situations of vulnerability with men who are sort of drooling or snarling or lashing out in obvious violence. They get into situations of vulnerability specifically because and when men are able to behave normally and appropriately in most circumstances. Again, you know, the overwhelming majority of men don't ever use force or violence to obtain sex. But if we truly listen to survivors, what we will learn is that among the minority of men who do engage in sexual predations, most don't look like monsters. And unfortunately, until or unless they are men who have, you know, 30 or 40 women accusing them, Most of the communities around accused men recoil more at the allegation of sexual assault than they are willing to sort of go like, oh, that otherwise good man has just been accused of sexual assault. Maybe one of the things that means is that, you know, sometimes otherwise good men engage in this behavior, and we have to figure out a way to hold those seemingly incompatible truths at the same time.
And, you know, you're absolutely right. We constantly are amazed, right? We're constantly astounded that someone so rich or someone so powerful or someone who had the world, you know, at his feet would do something like that, because why did they have to do it? They could, you know, they could go out and date and find some nice woman, but that's not what we're talking about here. And I think that we have to stop being amazed at the fact that they're not monsters. One last question, and I'm going to have to take a break, and I really appreciate you coming on, Katha, but is there something that we can do, like if you're the prosecution or the investigators in the law enforcement, to bring these people to justice quicker? Because I look at R. Kelly, and it took so long. Yes, they did try him, and he was acquitted, but it took so long to get these allegations. It wasn't until we had this movie, this series, that I think people started to go, wow, I think we need to do something about this. And Epstein gets a sweetheart deal. He continues to do this kind of thing. And when he hasn't been, you know, he just is now coming to justice. So what can we do to get to the bottom of these things more quickly?
Well, lots of police departments and prosecutors' offices around the country have invested in campaigns called Start by Believing campaigns. And what that means is when law enforcement and communities come together and they say, we are going to intentionally and very thoughtfully respond to all allegations of sexual assault from a posture of believing the survivor. It doesn't ever mean that you don't do the kind of investigation that you need to do in order to have confidence in the conclusion that you come to. But if you begin with the attitude that is responsive to the reality that the overwhelming majority of accusations are based in truth, if you start by believing and you act that way at the beginning, you will create higher quality investigations, you will develop higher quality evidence, and you will create a community in which survivors are more willing to tell their truths because the rest of the community has intentionally said, I am going to start by interacting with you from a posture of treating you as credible, rather than the traditional posture that our country takes with most allegations by survivors, which is one of generally hostility and disbelief.
Katha Morris-Hoffer, thank you so much for joining us. She's the executive director of the Chicago Alliance Against Sexual Exploitation. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you.